So it's our great pleasure to welcome Jeff Nimoy to the show. Jeff, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Survival Punk?
We're doing okay. It's been raining a lot here in Tennessee. Weather, so like for Christmas, it was like 70 here. So everyone was like mad that we don't have a white Christmas. And then it's been like,
oh, we never have a white Christmas. I can't even remember the last time we actually had it with snow on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
I was a teenager, I think.
Oh yeah.
Just a wet Christmas, right, Mike?
Oh, absolutely. All the snowmen around here are puddles.
Yeah. So for our audience, who is Jeff Nimoy?
Who is Jeff Nimoy? I've been trying to answer that question since 1966.
Wow.
I am also known as the Cooking Caveman. I'm a writer-director here in Los Angeles, producer, and I was writing this little animated screenplay one day, and they were like little cave creatures, and I decided like I needed them to have a diet of something, and I wanted to just sort of find out what the cavemen ate so I can make up a diet for these little creatures that were similar. And I just typed in a simple phrase in Google, what did cavemen eat? And this whole world about the paleo diet and the caveman diet came up, and I was just fascinated by the whole thing. I couldn't believe the claims they were making, and I said, I'm just going to try this for myself. It's kind of crazy sounding. So I tried it. And that 1 month changed my life, and that was 6 years ago now. And I've been the cooking caveman ever since, pretty much.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, same here. We both have pretty good success stories off the paleo diet. I mean, my co-host here, the Survival Punk himself, lost 100 pounds on the paleo diet and has managed to keep it off. And I myself actually at one point lost 70 pounds on the paleo diet. Then that first day, and I lost it quick, and then I remembered how much I love pizza and chocolate and everything, and I put like 50 of those pounds back on.
Wow!
But about a week ago, I just restarted it.
Now, actually, because the last 3 years in particular, maybe more, have been extremely stressful. I mean, in fact, all my years have been stressful since the market crash of 2008, but they've been getting even more increasingly stressful. And this particular last year, 2015, from around May on, I've been very lax with the whole paleo thing. And then from December on, or I should say Thanksgiving on, all the holiday parties, it seemed like there was a holiday party every single day in my life.
Yeah.
I just said, screw it. I'm just going to go for it and I'll worry about it on the first. And I put on so much more weight. I put it all back on, not all of it, but a lot of it. And by December 30th, 31st, I was like, oh, I cannot eat any more crap. And it's only 9 days in, but I've been pretty strict paleo ever since. And within 3 days, it doesn't take long, within 3 days, I started feeling so much better.
Yeah,
and it won't take me long to lose that weight when you're doing paleo. Just like it doesn't take that long to put it back on when you go off. Mm-hmm.
See, and I just restarted my paleo diet a week ago. And, I mean, I already notice a difference in my whole physiology. I mean, I'm already feeling a bit more energetic. I haven't, got on a scale or anything yet. Nah, but, I mean, I can always tell. I mean, I could tell instantly the first time. I'm almost completely paleo. I refuse to give up cheese this time because last time I gave up cheese and, all the dairy and stuff, and it made me so damn depressed I wanted to kill somebody. Yeah, that's when I found out cheese activates the same parts of your brain that, like, morphine does.
Wow.
Maybe I'll go back on cheese. I don't know.
There you go.
Certainly not grateful. I'm actually, this time around, I'm actually going even less meat than I did before. I'm out to prove that you don't even have to be a meat eater to be on paleo. You can be a vegan or a vegetarian. I'm getting most of my source of protein from eggs, which are really, really good eggs. They're very healthy from healthy chickens.
Oh, I love eggs.
Chickens that eat nothing but what they find on the ground.
Right.
I don't know, it's just meat in general and dairy, it's just not great for it. It's a little acidic on our body. And the whole thing to me about paleo is creating an alkaline environment for your body so we'll stay healthy. And just like you, I found I've gotten so much – I just feel so much better. My sleep is better. My the TMI I'm about to hit you with. My bathroom habits are better, you know. Just right across the board. My energy, of course, my skin cleared up. I was breaking out all over the place. So it's just a healthy, healthy lifestyle. It's a lot of work. Sometimes it's a pain in the ass, and when you're exhausted, you know, and you don't have that meal ready or that backup meal, you're like, pizza is just a speed dial away. You know, you just have to have a little willpower.
Yeah, and anything worth it is worth the struggle.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
So my next question was your definition of paleo, but I want to make a quick comment on the meat real quick. So the last couple months, I actually myself have cut back because I have a tendency, like if I don't watch it, I become like pure carnivore. Like I'll just be happy eating, you know, ribeye steaks all day.
Hell, our last interview, I caught him chewing on my damn arm 3 times.
Hey, a little salt, a little pepper, right now.
See, my plan was what I started doing was I started only buying grass-fed ground meat, organic grass-fed meat, and I eat about 3 ounces of that a day, plus bacon. I'm not giving up bacon. No way, no how.
You can take my bacon when you pry it from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah. So that way I have less protein, and the protein I am getting is that higher quality grass-fed protein. So, and it's cheaper, too.
What about the bacon, though? Is that from a high-quality source?
Not exactly. Well,
So, I used to have these, you know, arguments with people in the early days of my blog, cookingcaveman.com, when I started the blog in August of 2010, all about bacon, because just like you said, you know, pry it from my cold dead hand. When I told people bacon is not health food, it was like I insulted their mamas.
You know?
And I call it the bacon wars because it was horrible. I was getting hate mail for telling people they shouldn't be eating bacon. And I said, you know, hey, if you can find a very low salt, and that salt has to be good salt, like Himalayan sea salt Himalayan pink salt or sea salt, not, you know, factory, you know, Morton's from a canister. Or you're getting it from a pig that was pasture raised, or even better, a wild boar. Unless you're getting bacon like that, you're really not doing yourself any favors. And of course, everyone hated me. So again, you can eat what you want. I don't care what anyone eats, to tell you the truth.
Right.
But I just don't want people fooling themselves into thinking, hey, I'm doing great. I'm eating handfuls of bacon every day. You know, Oscar Mayer bacon. As long as you know you're cheating, I'm okay with whatever you eat. But don't fool yourself, because then you go on the internet and tell everyone, hey, I found this great thing called paleo and you can eat as much bacon as you want. Yeah, you're really steering people in the wrong direction.
Now, a while back, James here actually did this article that went like crazy viral about pine bacon. Have you ever heard of this phenomenon?
No, let me hear it.
Well, basically, pine bacon, you go to a pine tree, you strip off the bark, and you get the cambium layer of it. If you strip that, if you get long strips of that, you can fry it and eat it, and it doesn't taste unlike bacon.
It's fairly digestible.
It's very paleo.
What just happened?
My power went out, but go next door and check and see what's going on.
What
Jeff?
What happened there?
My power actually went out.
Yeah, he lives in a tiny house on my property that's actually plugged into my house for power, and the breaker tripped.
Yeah, this interview is cursed.
I cannot remember the last time this many things went wrong with any of our podcasts ever.
We've had it happen a few times, but it's like podcasting ain't easy.
I can just imagine he's on the. I am a writer-director in Hollywood, damn it. Why am I wasting my time with these amateur jackasses?
Oh, my God.
What's the last thing you have for me? Do you know?
I
have no fucking clue.
It's recorded. I haven't lost anything. But
did you hear me say about the pine bacon that you can't get any more paleo than that?
I think that was the last thing we heard.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, there are some digestible calories in the pine bark, like 10 or 15.
Are we recording right now, by the way?
Yes, we are recording.
Yes, okay. We're recording.
Yeah, so I'll just...
So I said you can't get any more paleo than tree bark. That's the best, right?
pretty much. I think I remember looking at one time, there are 11 different wild edibles on a pine tree. So if you're ever like lost in, you know, the Sierras of California, the pine tree will probably keep you alive.
Yeah. So, and you could definitely, I mean, a lot of animals eat tree bark, so you could definitely see how paleo that would be.
Yeah.
But we could digest it okay?
The cambium, the inner bark layer, we can digest. It's not a lot of calories. It's like, it fills up stomach space, but you're not gonna live on it.
The funny thing about it is, it's like, it works the opposite of bacon, which bacon will start out flat and then cook curly. This will start out curly and then cook flat.
It's really, and it does get crispy. It does get crispy, and it actually tastes pretty good. So,
one of my rules is if you can eat it raw, then you can cook with it. But if you can't eat it raw, like a deer, I'm sure can eat that raw, but I'm not sure we can. So if you can eat it raw, then I'm all for it.
It's got to
be healthier for you than bacon.
I actually like that rule too. Yeah, if you can't eat it raw, I like that rule as well. One of my things is if you've ever tried to eat a white potato raw, you pretty much get a sour face and spit it right out. The same thing with if you try a sweet potato, it actually is pretty decent raw. Like if you cut it thin enough, it doesn't taste bad.
Potatoes were actually
When I say that about white potatoes to my readers, I, you know, get some jerkwad with a comment that says, my grandmother eats raw potatoes and she's lived to 90,000. Good for your grandmother. You know, you should do it too then.
I've seen my mother eat raw potatoes before.
That's disgusting.
I mean, I was never a fan of it myself. I mean, I've tried it. Of course, I'll try to eat any damn thing you give me a chance, but yeah.
The only exception I found is I love plantain when it's cooked, but I've tried it, you know, raw, and it's disgusting. So, I kind of make that exception. Like, cause have you, I'm going to back up. So Jeff, what is your definition of paleo primal? Like, how do you define it? And what do you say about it for the people that three people that don't know.
Well, for me, it's more of, you know, I'm referring to the lifestyle more than the diet. The diet, of course, is, you know, enveloped inside the lifestyle. But it's to try to live as chemical-free, toxic-free a life as you can or desire to. You know, like, I desire to live to 150, but if not cleaning my body with soap means I'll only live to 90, I'm going to clean soap.
Yeah.
I'm going to clean with soap, you know, because soap's not great for you either. But, you know, I don't want to be a real caveman. I just want to be a modern caveman.
Right.
In modern times. So, I just try to eliminate certain things or as many things as I can or I'm willing to eliminate. So if you're not willing to eliminate bacon, good for you. Just know that it comes with some consequences.
Right.
And that's what it means to me. Now, I'm a little more anal than a lot of people I know. And I'm less anal than some people I know, like the soap thing. I know people that don't use soap.
Right.
I do, you know, but I don't use any additives in my laundry detergent. And that took me a long time because I like the smell of my old laundry detergent. But now I've gone with a, you know, completely clean, chemical-free soap and, I mean, laundry detergent. And they don't work as great as the chemical stuff, but... you know, it's better for your body and your skin in particular. It's the largest organ in the body, and I just didn't want it exposed to that many chemicals all the time. You know?
Right.
So I made that change in my life. In terms of food, I try to eat 75% plant, 25% animal to keep that nice alkaline balance. But at the same time, any animal product I do eat should be as clean an animal, as healthy an animal as possible. So no Oscar Mayer bacon, but if they made some kind of paleo bacon with very little natural salt, I would try it.
Yeah.
You guys still there? The little noise there. Is that the warning sign that I mentioned?
No, that was just something weird on his phone just popped up.
Oh, okay. I thought I won a prize. So, like, if I eat, you know, any kind of beef, it's got to be from a grass-fed cow. Grass-fed, grass-finished from beginning to end of the cow's life. And same with the chicken. I don't want my chicken being fed corn or soy. And even the organic stuff just means, usually organic chicken just means it was fed organic corn and soy. You know,
right.
For pasture-raised animals. Wild animals obviously being the best because there's, you know, unless they're, you know, being raised wild on a toxic dump.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do, though, here's what people should learn. This is why I'm not as crazy and anal as some people out there. No matter what you do, we're going to get toxins. We just live in this world today.
Yeah.
The world we live in is toxic.
Yeah.
And even the air we breathe, the oceans we swim in, there's not much we can do to escape it. So as much as possible, that's what I try to do. You know, and that's what I try to tell people. And that's what paleo is to me.
Sounds good. I pretty much feel as well that you encounter like a million and one toxins and poisons and carcinogens every day, and you just pick and choose which ones you happen to not want exposed to. I only cook on cast iron because I don't want Teflon in me. That's, you know, I started.
Me too. I did that changed pretty quickly on in my process.
Yeah. And I prefer the cast iron a lot now. Like, I went and found like some of the old like Wagner and Griswold cast iron. Love those.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, great. And then
yeah, I bought one 6 years ago on my first day of paleo, pretty much.
Yeah,
and right now it's just fantastic. It took a few years there where I was complaining about, you know, things sticking and stuff, but now it's just like glass. It's fantastic.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'll slide scrambled eggs around on it, and you know, it's perfect.
Now I will. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of my big complaints because I eat a lot of eggs. And
yeah.
My big complaint was half of it is still on the bottom of the pan. I can't get it off. Now it's fantastic. Now I don't use any other pan for eggs.
Love it. Yeah. And then I got rid of all my crappy plastic Tupperware, you know, for food prep and stuff. And then they have really nice glass ones now because I didn't want to store my stuff in plastic, and I didn't want to microwave it if I happened to microwave it in plastic to, you know, get any soy estrogen or BPAs. So I did that one. And, you know, little things here and there.
I mean, plus, you know what they say about plastic. It's only one, like, it's only like one molecule away from being margarine. I love Facebook.
Yeah, like all glass, exactly. There's certain things I did when I first learned about the paleo diet. I learned it from this website that I was just, like I said, I was just scouring the internet looking for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called cavemanpower.com, and it was very informative. And then I started reading more and more and more. And then when I decided to go for it, I really went for it. I just went all in, and I did all the, threw out all my old plastic, got all either BPA free or glass. And now I hear BPA free is kind of a meaningless label now. So glass is the way to go if you can.
It's like stuff that doesn't have trans fat in it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what?
It's like all the packaging in the stores that say it has no trans fat. Everything doesn't have trans fat. I mean,
you mean like those water bottles that said gluten free on it?
I saw water bottles that said gluten free on it. Yeah.
Labels are incredible. And that's one of the biggest things when I went paleo that I realized was how much corporate America was lying to me. And how much the government was lying to me.
Yeah.
About, you know, their FDA set of rules and everything. And then you find out they're teaching, you know, that food pyramid that you should eat a certain amount of whole grains because they're growing whole grains. They're in the whole grain business.
Yeah.
So
yeah, all the biggest parts of the pyramid.
How much lying there is being done to people in America by all the money people.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of government subsidies, but if you're going to subsidize something, I would rather you not subsidize GMO corn and subsidize like grass-fed cattle. You know, where like if grass-fed cattle was like as cheap as like, you know, corn and soy is, I think America would be in a lot better shape than it is, you know, with corn syrup and everything.
And, you know, plus a thing I found out recently, the vast majority of the corn grown in this country is something called dent corn. Have you ever heard of that?
I don't.
They have to do a bunch of stuff to it before it can even become close to edible. It goes through so much processing right off the bat.
Now, here's, unfortunately, I'm going to bum people out about this, about grass-fed beef. The thing about it is, it's at the rate we're eating meat as a world, population, mm-hmm. we can't keep that pace up with only grass-fed beef, because grass-fed beef, obviously, it takes longer for the cow to mm-hmm. develop, mature. It, you know, when we're not feeding them corn and soy, they grow much slower.
Right.
They don't get fat and what have you. And we also need that space. Feedlots are much smaller. You can put a lot more cows on a feedlot than on a grass pasture roaming freely. So we would have to cut our meat consumption, our beef consumption, considerably as a planet to live off of grass-fed meat. So, you know, now, if I could tell you, you're going to save the planet by eating 3 ounces a week of grass-fed beef, would you do it? I don't know if I would. I don't know. It's a tough choice. Save the planet or eat a burger? I don't know.
Yeah.
We're selfish, you know, naturally. So it's tough. So unfortunately, in terms of sustainability, grass-fed beef's not the answer either. And really, I'm afraid to say veganism might be in the race's future, whether we like it or not, you know.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the solution is. It's big problems for sure.
Yeah, maybe not in our lifetimes, but if we're going to survive as a race on this planet, you know, over the next 20,000 years or 40,000 years or whenever the next ice age comes,
right?
We're going to have to change our eating habits. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's hard with the way things are. I'm a big fan of permaculture, and it would help a lot of problems because it's better and more sustainable than our current farming methods, but yeah. It's not quite as profitable. So there's it's all about the money.
And you know, I wouldn't tell anyone to go veganism. I'm saying if you are a vegan, go for it. But we are programmed to eat meat, not as much as people think, but we definitely need some meat in our life mm-hmm. now to survive a healthy lifestyle. So, but you know, again, that meat should be like, you know, the cavemen were eating venison, and the cavemen were eating, you know, wild boar and things like that, birds and fish,
right.
Things like that. So, a cow might not be in our future long term.
Have you ever looked at the analysis of growing cricket protein? Like, I've actually looked into it, and you could actually grow enough cricket meat protein in like on your front porch to sustain a family of like four. There's actually some good research on it, and a lot of people are just squeamish about it. So there's that. But nutritional wise, it actually looks pretty good.
My daughter would kill you if she heard you say that.
You're never going to be salivating, craving a cricket burger. I guarantee it.
No, they won't.
I crave In-N-Out burger. I'm going to be craving in the cricket.
No, yeah, you're right. Have you had the Exo bars by chance?
I'm sorry,
Have you had the Exo bars, those cricket protein bars there all around the internet?
Oh, no, I didn't even know what they were called. Exo bars, no.
Exo, you should look them up. They're actually a little sweet for my taste, but they're made from cricket flour, and they taste just like a Laura bar. I mean, they really do.
Yeah, he had my daughter try one of them, and she thought it was okay. Then he told her it was made from crickets.
Yeah.
That was a year ago. She has never forgiven him for that. he says cricket in front of her right now, and she mean mugs him.
Here's a weird thing about paleo products. We are a lifestyle that suggests we should not eat anything processed.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, we still want that convenience of being in a modern world. So you look at those things, and a lot of times they'll just stick that label paleo on it.
Oh, yeah.
People, but you read that label and they're just as processed and just as bad for you as anything else.
I don't want to go too deep into it, but when I saw that the Julian Bakery came out with paleo bars and one of the flavors was frosted donut, I was just like, glazed donut, that's what it was. And I was like, glazed donut paleo bar. I'm like, that's the antithesis there, buddy.
Yeah, oxymoron, right?
Yeah, yeah. So back and, to
you know, the other thing about paleo, by the way, I should say what paleo is to me. It starts and ends with organic, because pesticides are one of the worst things.
Yeah.
That we can ingest. So when people say, "Yeah, I'm totally paleo," whenever I go out to eat with people, I just eat, you know, the meat and vegetables, and I don't eat any of the bread and rice. I'm like, well, unless it's organic, you're still eating those pesticides. You can only wash off so many, and even then, there's plant food that they're grown with, or you know, chemical plant food and all that stuff. So
yeah,
organic and paleo should go hand in hand, in my opinion.
Yeah. So on Cooking Caveman, you have some amazing recipes, and you have a lot of some of the best sort of recreations I've seen of traditional dishes. I think at one time you and me may have been the two people that had ramen recipes, because I was stuck watching like a Naruto marathon. I'm like, I gotta make paleo ramen. And then I looked it up, and you were, I think, the only person I saw. And so so tell me about some of the.
Did you know I directed Naruto?
I did not know that.
Son of a bitch.
That's so funny that you mentioned that. I was the season one director of Naruto. I wrote a few episodes, and I cast all of season two, and then left to go back to Digimon, which I was also the showrunner of,
right,
for seasons 1, 2, and 5.
Yeah,
I can't blame you for that. Thing. Digimon are the champions.
Oh my god,
Digimon are the champions. Digital monsters to save the digital world.
I actually watched Digimon. It came out while I was in high school.
Oh, way to make the guest feel old. Yeah. You shut your mouth.
I was like probably 17 or something.
I get it at conventions much worse than that. I go to conventions, they say, I grew up with you. I was a kid. And
yeah.
Now they're 30. And, oh my God, how did that happen?
Yeah. Off topic, we'll get back to the dishes in a second. You actually did do the voice for one of my all-time favorite anime characters, and that's Wolfwood. And I was going to get you to, like, say something in Wolfwood's voice, and then, like, talking to you, I realized it's pretty much just your voice.
It is pretty much. You're talking to Wolfwood right now.
Yeah, it's
Needle Noggin.
Oh, yeah.
Go paleo, Needle Noggin. Wolfwood's are starting out there, but they should still go paleo.
Wow, yeah.
Well, thanks for remembering, America. It's nice to be remembered. This Wolfwood. Wolfwood was one of my favorites. And, I loved them all. I worked a lot in anime. And Digimon was really my big one, though. And I played Tentomon in that. Tentomon Digivolve 2!
Oh, my God! I know exactly
what yeah.
That is nuts!
Yeah. So, and then Naruto, and then Bleach I directed and wrote a bunch of Bleach. And,
another one of my favorites there.
But it's just funny you mention Naruto, you know. So I make a paleo ramen. I like zucchini as my noodle of choice in ramen, because zucchini tends to get watery no matter how much you squeeze that water out. It just gets watery and waters down any sauce you put on. So, but in a soup, it just adds to it.
Right.
So, if I'm using anything with a sauce, I like to go to daikon radish. As far as I know, I'm the only paleo, quote-unquote, expert out there that's using daikon radish. I've tried to tell people how great it is, but they're not catching on. A lot of people don't have access to it, I think, too. I'm lucky. I'm in Southern California, and the Whole Foods markets out here have such an array of different produce, you know, because we can grow it all year long.
Right.
So I use daikon for almost every kind of noodle substitute except the soup, which I like to use zucchini. But yeah, the paleo, one of the earlier dishes I created on paleo was ramen. It just seemed to be a perfect match.
Yeah, that was weird that, you know, this is a couple of years ago when I searched, you were the only ramen recipe I found. And I'm like, what? So I used zucchini noodles too, but this was before they had like the noodleizer thing. So I had to like manually, you know, cut my noodles.
Oh, really?
It was a pain in the ass.
I found the spiral cutter real quick. Just you go online and You know, the internet's a great tool, especially if you don't know what the hell you're doing when you're first starting out. You know, just look up anything. And I looked up vegetable spiral cutter, you know, and found all this great stuff. And $20 on Amazon, you know, they had a million different brands all around $20.
Yeah, I picked up the Vegetti noodle maker thing, and I've used that a lot. Since I got that, it made making ramen a lot faster.
yeah, totally.
Yeah,
and then see you with a damn zucchini and a knife. Ah, that's not noodle shaped.
No, I would square it off and then make square noodle cuts and then put them in the sauce, and it worked out. It's just a pain.
Now the first time I heard about Survival Punk was I saw your recipe for nachos, which I love Mexican food.
Living
in California, we've got Mexican food, and. I love that idea of just using bell peppers instead of the nacho chips because I miss it. And so I blogged about it. I hope you got a lot more readers after I blogged about it.
I did see some traffic,
I saw you made a pancake recipe too that I wasn't thrilled with, but then I started tweaking it a little bit, and then I love my pancake recipe now. All my recipes are free, by the way, and they're all on cookingcaveman.com.
Yeah, and then I saw your improvement, and – so to this day, the way I found Cooking Caveman originally was I was looking for a paleo bread recipe, and I suck it. I can't bake. Like, I'm just not a baker at all. Like, every time I attempt to bake, it's just this miserable failure. And I saw your recipe for, I think, this like version 2.0 of the paleo bread.
Right.
And I did that, and it came out pretty much perfect. And I'm like, I didn't screw this up. And, you know, I was able to make so I ate some toast first, and that was good. And then I made a paleo bread Reuben sandwich, and I was pretty much in heaven with that. That's what I tell people. If they're like, I want to go paleo, but I really need a bread substitute, which, I mean, I make paleo bread like once a year, you know, just when I'm really feeling the crave for it. I send them to your blog, and I'm like, just do that. That's the easiest, best paleo recipe on the internet, period.
Thanks. It's my most popular blog by far, my most popular video by far. The video, unfortunately, is one bread recipe ago. So my newer recipe, I do not have a video for, but I feel it's just a hair superior to the old one. It just doesn't fall apart at all, whereas the old one, you know, every other batch fell apart a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So, but... you know, that's the thing you miss mostly when you start. You know, it's bread, you know. Any kind of carb you miss. Noodles, bread. So I don't miss bread anymore. I don't miss carb anymore. I don't miss rice anymore because I use cauliflower or broccoli. Just, you know, as a rice substitute. And what else don't I miss? I don't miss potatoes because I use rutabaga a lot. You know, I'm not a big sweet potato guy because the starch... it's kind of a lot of empty calories for me. I'm not that active. If you are active, it's much better for you. And I don't miss ice cream anymore because I've got this frozen banana ice cream that I use. So it's just great, you know. The only thing I miss is pizza.
Yeah.
You just can't make a substitute for pizza.
I've tried several versions, and it's hit or miss. Some of them, I mean... to be honest, the best one I've had, which is just a meat overload, it's the Paleo Comfort book people. They did a meatza, and you basically just it's all meat. Like, the crust is made of like eggs and meat, and then you put the stuff on top. So, you know,
I'm sure a lot of them are good, but it's not pizza.
It's not my
Brooklyn pizza that I grew up with.
Oh, no, nothing. Yeah. No, there's no substitute for a slice of New York pizza. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Right. No.
And because, I mean, I can even make fried chicken all paleo using coconut flour and almond flour, but at the same time, every now and then, I just want some Nashville fried chicken, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I come to Nashville for an anime convention once a year, and I just... that's one of my favorite cheat towns in the world. It's just fried chicken, hot chicken.
Yeah.
And, you know, Monell's. I have to go to Monell's every time I come, and I've got to go to Hattie B's. And, you know, they've got great barbecue, too. Mm-hmm. So those are my three things I always have when I'm in Nashville. And you know, you have to cheat once in a while. There's just too much temptation around, mm-hmm. and one more meal's not going to kill you. That's the whole thing about paleo anyway. It's like they say, you know, these grains, one meal of grains doesn't kill you. It's the accumulation of 40, 50, 60, 70 years of eating them that, you know, really the toxins build up in your body. So one more meal of pizza is not going to kill me.
Yeah, sometimes the only and best way to get rid of temptation is to occasionally succumb to it.
Yeah, that's...
Absolutely. In fact, the other day, I felt right into that. There's one of my weaknesses is macaroni and cheese.
Oh.
And they brought it into work, and I had it, and I was immediately sort of feeling disgusted with myself after being so clean for a week. You know, I immediately felt tired and sleepy and heavy, and my stomach was doing flip-flops, and, you know, I had gas, and I had not had that since I went back to paleo, you know. So you're right. One of the best ways to realize you don't want something is to have it.
Yeah, now let me ask you, that macaroni and cheese they brought in, now was this like a good oven-baked macaroni and cheese or something like that? Because
it was good. It was high quality, but it was still very heavy.
Well, you see, you should feel freaking lucky, because my weakness is like one of those cheap, like tall, skinny boxes of Kraft that's like 88 cents off the shelf. And I don't even care if it's name brand. I'll take the generic shit.
I'll tell you, I've had mac and cheese all across this country. There's still nothing better than the original Kraft in a box.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's what my mama raised me on, damn it.
Because you're eating a memory. That's mm-hmm. why it's so good.
Yeah.
You're eating the memory.
So out of all the recipes you've created, what is your personal favorite, the one that you like fall back to the most?
Well, if you're talking just in terms of quantity, I eat the banana ice cream more than anything. I have it for dessert in the summer almost every single night. Even though we've got all these wonderful fruits in the summer, I still fall back on that ice cream because I'm an ice cream freak, and I can inhale a pint of Haagen-Dazs without thinking about it. So to inhale two bananas, it's much healthier for me and just as satisfying.
Yeah.
And when you know, it's just really, really good. And in terms of something that people always ask me to make them, they always ask me to make them grass-fed brisket because I have this sauce. I've got these two sauces. One is my plum sauce and one is my apricot sauce. Very few ingredients in the apricot sauce, which I've sort of made it as my fallback. And that's the one I get requested to make the most. But in terms of what I eat the most, like, you know, again, I can't cook all of these elaborate meals every day. I just don't have time. So I'm a big egg guy, you know. I eat a lot of eggs. Mm-hmm. I eat egg salad, egg, you know, scrambled eggs, over easy eggs, and, you know, just to have that paleo toast I make with some over easy eggs, it's wonderful. Also, I only eat one meal a day. I'm a big believer in intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually only eat dinner. That saves a ton of money on food. It saves a ton of time, you know, as well. So, you know, it keeps my body, you know, you don't need as much food as you think to survive. And especially, like I was saying, I'm not a very active guy. I don't exercise that much. So if I'm eating three meals a day, even if they're paleo, I'm going to probably put on weight because I'm eating too many calories from my exertion level.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you familiar with an author named Jimmy Moore?
No.
Okay. He wrote these books on ketogenic clarity called Keto Clarity and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. But he would actually agree with what you just said. Because, I mean, we recently were at a book signing of his, and he told us, I mean, if you're satisfied off one meal a day, that's all you need. So I'm just glad I'm hearing this from two people. That means that it actually has some kind of I'm forgetting words in English.
There's also a lot of health benefits to fasting. You know, when your body thinks it's starving, it releases all these wonderful antioxidants into your system that it keeps in reserve for just such emergencies. And you know, when you're in a state of ketosis, that you're pretty healthy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a ton of benefits. I'm not down to one meal a day, but I eat two meals a day. So I eat lunch and dinner. And then not again till lunch the next day.
See, and I'm the same way. I usually have a light lunch, a very small lunch, and then I'll have a satisfying dinner.
Well, I will say, I will say I do not starve myself. If I am hungry during the day, I'll eat.
Yeah.
But I'll eat a handful of nuts. I'll eat a small apple. Just something that, you know, tides me over, you know. And if I'm still hungry, then maybe I'll say, you know, maybe I will start having a full meal right now. But that rarely happens. Usually a handful of almonds does the trick, walnuts, you know. Organic, of course, organic. Always good.
Right, right.
One thing also, if I know I'm not going to get to eat dinner till very late, I might, even when I'm not hungry, which is not a great thing, but I might have a breakfast just so I know, you know, I'll never make it, you know, another till 9 o'clock tonight, you know, because I'll start getting hungry around 4 o'clock if I don't eat anything.
Right, right. I mean, I think the bigger thing that, like, the message I want people to get out of paleo is, you know, instead of, like, weighing and measuring and counting calories, like, learn to intuitively listen to your body. Like, you know, I eat two meals a day, but if I'm starving, like, you know, every once in a while, like, in between those two meals, I'll get hungry and I'm going
to
eat.
That's the thing. Right. Listen to your body. Exactly. Try to realize when you're really hungry or when you're just bored.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because most of us eat out of boredom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then I also sort of will analyze, like, was there something different that you know, made me hungry? Like, was I, you know, did I eat less? Did I change something I ate? You know, was I exposed to something? Like, usually there's a reason. Sometimes it's just, you know, stress sometimes, you know, burn calories, so, you know, right. Look at it, and then you just pay attention.
So there you go.
Yeah. So we've covered your sort of favorite dish. I like to publicize my mistakes on the blog too. Like, there's a couple of recipes I put up, you know, that was more or less like, hey, I tried this, it actually sucked. So maybe you can give it a try and see what you can do. I tried to make some like coconut bars one time that were made from basically all coconut. And they turned out abominable. So have you had, like, what's your biggest disaster? Like, you thought something was going to work out, and then it's just, no, I just start over.
My first matzo ball soup recipe was just a disaster. I tried to make matzo ball soup paleo style. And I don't know if you've ever made matzo ball soup, but when you make a matzo ball, you put it all together with the matzo meal, which is made – it's a flour, but it's made from wheat ultimately. And you drop it in boiling water, and it absorbs the water, and it's nice, light, and fluffy. You can make it a little denser if you want, but it gets it cooks by absorbing the water. Mm-hmm. Well, nuts don't absorb water, so I was using a nut flour, and it just fell apart. It was just horrible. But I had one saving grace of a little piece of matzo ball that looked like the matzo ball, and I just rested that on top of the soup, so it looked, when I took the picture, it looked like there was a full ball underneath. But it wasn't. It was just a little thing. So I put the picture up there, and I said, here's a matzo ball recipe. And then once you got into the article, you realized I just screwed it up, you know, colossally. And that I was just trying to fool people with the picture. I said, but I will be out there. I'll keep trying, you know, for cave Jews everywhere. And eventually I did come up with an amazing matzo ball recipe. And my problem was I was trying to make it like a matzo ball, but I was using like a paleo bread recipe, really. So I baked it into a cupcake, a matzo ball cupcake instead. Huh. And they came out fantastic. So now I have my matzo ball soup with my paleo matzo balls that are really cupcakes.
Well, there you go. I'm just working around it.
Yeah.
See, I've only ever had like one disaster like that because I try to be – I was – when I first got on the paleo diet – I decided I was going to try to make a paleo meatloaf because I was tired of eating just like plain stuff. And I ended up basically making a meat brick.
Oh, my God.
I was like, okay, what am I going to use instead of crackers? Okay, I've got all this almond flour. I'll throw that in there. I mean, I was trying to replace all my normal ingredients with paleo ingredients. I ended up with a meat brick. Oh. It was basically a greasy beef brick. I could have killed somebody with that thing.
Oh, my God.
By feeding it or bludgeoning them with it. I forced myself to eat that damn thing, but I couldn't make it. I could not make it, and the bathroom the next morning was atrocious.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, not meaning to get gross, but damn.
Now, on the flip side of that, I had a couple of great surprises, too. Like, I was trying to make General Chow's chicken, and I screwed it up. Instead, I turned it into this pretty amazing sort of like coconut curry chicken, which was fantastic. And then one time I was just – like, when I was a kid, one of my favorite things to eat was just – I know this is very white trash, but it was just like spaghetti, butter, and ketchup.
Oh, man.
I mean, God, that sounds like Sunday dinner at my aunt's house.
So I just made like these long carrot noodles, you know, just with a peeler, and I have this great caveman ketchup that I make, this paleo ketchup that I make from scratch, and I just combine those two, and all of a sudden, for no reason that makes sense whatsoever, it tasted like paleo pod Thai, the famous famous Thai food recipe, noodle dish. And I don't know why, because there was not one single Thai ingredient in that, but that combination tasted like pad Thai, and my pad Thai is outrageously good, and those are the two key ingredients, my ketchup and carrot noodles.
Wow. Wow.
Sometimes things just work out perfect, no matter how badly you mess it up.
Yeah. I think my favorite... my favorite thing I ever did was I came up with a way to make paleo egg rolls easily. Well, I thought it would be easily. So I made the stuffing and stuff. And then for the wrapper, I wrapped it in chicken skin and then cooked that in the skillet. And chicken skin crisped up.
Oh, fantastic.
It's a pain. It's a pain because I bought a package of like chicken thighs, which is about perfect size for an egg roll for me. Taste-wise – it blew my socks off. And unfortunately, back then, I was a terrible picture taker, so the pictures looked terrible. But
what do you mean back then?
I mean, I take good pictures now of food. Like,
sure you do, Pookie.
It's bad, yeah. But if you get bored and want like an egg roll one time, give that a try. Like, find some, you know, good organic chicken skins and do that. You won't be disappointed.
Now, I've seen a recipe for Kalia caveman nachos before that instead of chips, they use like really crispy chicken skin like that.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would be good.
But, you know, again, like, you know, sometimes, like, even though the dish I make is fantastic, it takes forever. Like, I make a great paleo pie, you know, like an apple pie or a cherry pie, but it takes forever. Mm-hmm. And at the end, it's like, is this more satisfying than eating an apple? A nice, crisp, cold apple? I don't know if it is, you know?
Right.
Is it better than a bowl of cherries, you know, in the summer? I don't think it is. So sometimes I'm just lazy, you know?
I just
don't want to work that hard. Paleo is a lot of work, so why make it even harder sometimes with these elaborate dishes? So I might just have a cheat by buying an egg roll, you know, because that sounds like a lot of work.
That's why I've only done it once.
That's a great idea, though.
Yeah. Like I said, I think I said in the article, I'm like, yeah, it's kind of a lot of work. Like, it tastes great, but I don't really recommend it. Like, and you've said it a few times. You know, we both of us have created, and you know, lots of other bloggers. A lot of bloggers have created some truly amazing paleo recipes, but that's not what we eat daily. You know, like,
right?
Yeah, I mean, basically for breakfast, I usually like eat 3 ounces of grass-fed beef, dinner. Yeah, because I work nights right now, so my breakfast is dinner. So I eat like 3 ounces of grass-fed meat with like some shredded up sweet potato for hash browns. You know, I just basically cook it in the skillet, you know, one skillet together, you know, and then just eat that.
My readers sometimes are like, how come you're not showing pictures of what you eat? Well, how many pictures of the same salad and eggs can I show you?
Yeah.
You know, I had salad or eggs every day this week. So how many pictures? I've already shown you 1,000 pictures of that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
How much more do you want?
So that's a big pet peeve of mine. And I'm not downing on either one of you here. I'm really not. But for some reason, it has always driven me crazy when people post pictures of their dinner. I don't know why, but that just I don't want to know what you're eating. I've deliberately, on more than one occasion, on Facebook, just posted pictures of empty plates. I'm like, it's none of your business.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's funny you say that, because the only reason I started a blog was people were saying, what are you eating? They demanded pictures of what I was eating.
Yeah.
Paleo wasn't as known back in 2010. I mean, it was obviously known enough that I found out about it.
Right.
But like all of my friends on Facebook, they had no idea what I was talking about when I talked about this diet. And they were like, we're fascinated. We want to see what you eat. How are you eating ramen soup without noodles? How are you eating spaghetti and meatballs without noodles, you know, without spaghetti, you know, things like that. And they were just fascinated by it. And yeah, just as we touched on right at the beginning of this podcast, my whole point of making this podcast was recreating traditional meals that I was missing, that I didn't want to miss anymore, while on paleo. And at the beginning also, I used to say this a lot. I used to say, if I can do it, anyone can do it, because I wasn't this big cook or anything. I taught myself to cook pretty much and, you know, watched a lot of videos on cooking and, you know, TV, mm-hmm. things like that. And I used to say, if I could do it, you could do it. But now that I see how many people fail on paleo and how many people are lazy and how many people just aren't willing to do all the food planning and food shopping and food cooking and then food cleaning up, of course.
Yeah.
Now I realize maybe you can't do it if I can do it. Maybe I have a little more of an A-type personality. Maybe it does take this type of personality to succeed on paleo, the kind of person that does the extra steps and, you know, will go the extra mile to live this kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, I it definitely takes a certain personality, and it's a rabbit hole. Like, people start out, you know, on the top of the rabbit hole, and then they go further down. And like I said, they get rid of their Teflon, and they get rid of their plastic, and, you know, they're wearing blue glasses at nighttime, and, you know.
They're checking their pockets for high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, yeah. It's a rabbit hole. But so we've used a bunch of your time here. I've got two questions left, and then we'll let you enjoy the rest of your day.
Are these anime questions, or do you have 20 more anime questions?
I kind of have a sort of anime question for the last one, kind of, sort of. But
I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm kidding. Ask whatever you want.
I don't want to geek out too much and make you just recite, like, scripts and stuff. Say this for me. But so besides paleo, you've also sort of stumbled on a problem that a lot of people, like a lot of people in the paleo world, experience, and that's dating is kind of hard when you are super picky about what you eat. And your solution for that was SamePlate.com. Tell me about SamePlate.
Well, one reader actually said, what do you do when you date? Do you force your dates to eat this way? And I thought that was kind of funny when they said, do you force your dates? Like I can, like, tie someone down and eat them grass-fed steak, you know, through a funnel.
Yeah.
But it did get me to start to thinking, because I had not started dating at that point since I had been on paleo. And I was like, huh, how am I going to date? How am I going to break this news to, you know, some girls not paleo? And as I started dating, I was like, I'm just going to, you know, make this my cheat meal. But of course, when it comes up in conversation, I start talking about paleo, mm-hmm. and they look at me like I'm out of my mind, like I'm an alien from another planet, and, you know, they don't want to date me anymore. So things like that. So I just thought it would be so much easier if I had another paleo girl who I don't have to explain the diet to, first of all, on the first date. And, you know, what happens if you do get married, whatever? You're going to cook two meals for the rest of your life? That's insane. So, you know, it just made sense for me to start looking for a paleo girl. So my first thought was to create a paleo dating site. And then almost immediately, I didn't think too long about that, I started thinking, well, why just paleo? Everyone who has some kind of restricted diet must have this problem. Like, a diabetic must, you know, married to another diet, non-diabetic, must go crazy looking at all that ice cream and pasta that person's eating, that spouse is eating. And someone with a nut allergy, you know, has to live almost in a vacuum compared to their spouse, you know?
Right.
So I just started thinking, anyone, and then it occurred to me, like, you know, picky eaters must have this problem, you know?
Yeah.
I've dated a few picky eaters, and it was kind of hell. Like, I lived with a girl who wouldn't eat vegetables. She wouldn't eat anything green.
Oh, my God.
And that's kind of tough. Yeah. So, and it was a bone of contention for sure, you know, those 4 years that I lived with her. So anyway, I just started thinking, wow, this really goes to anyone who eats, you know, because food is so much more important to us than we realize, especially when you start dating. Almost every activity is around food, mm-hmm. you know. You, even if you're just going out for coffee, it's food related.
Mm-hmm.
So I just came up with sameplate.com, and it just matches people through the food they eat, no matter what your diet is, whether it be pizza lovers or paleo, or you're on Weight Watchers, you can find someone on Weight Watchers. If you're on Atkins, you can find someone on Atkins. If you have a nut allergy, you can find another nut allergy sufferer. Say that five times.
Yeah.
So it's I just decided to do that, and it's completely free, sameplate.com, and I don't charge a thing for it. And you know, it's spreading. It's not spreading as quickly as I wanted it to. I was hoping it would be up to about, you know, a million members by now, but we're only in the thousands. And it's tough because a lot of people will sign up, let's say in Nashville, and there'll only be four other people in Nashville, you know. So it's tough. We need to get a little more. We need to spread the word a little more, paleo people.
Right, and that's why.
Get the word out there and let all your single friends know about sameplate.com, and before you know it, we'll all be eating happily together.
Exactly.
Happily ever after.
I know I covered it on my blog one time. I am signed up for Sameplate, and. That is one of the problems. It needs more people. You know, it needs to be.
Right.
What you need is a swipey app. That's what you need.
People in Los Angeles, people in New York, and people in the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area, they're doing okay because those were our first three test cities. But now that we opened it up to all of the United States and Canada, there's one poor guy up in Alaska. Wants to share a moose burger with someone, doesn't have anyone. So
poor guy.
I feel bad for that person, but we need to get the word out there.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons why I had you on the show, to help spread Sameplate.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm just out of curiosity, have you considered like having a Android iPhone app for it? You know, like people really like swiping, you know, for like Tinders and stuff, like Sameplate swipe.
Yeah, I'm looking for investments and that kind of thing, but we still don't have quite enough members to attract that kind of investment. And I just don't want to spend the money out of my own pocket.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I've had that problem with other little projects that I've came up with. You know, I'd love to do it, but, you know. Give me the money,
right.
I'll do it.
I was almost on Shark Tank twice, last year and this year. Almost. Made it very close to being on the show, but at the end, they didn't go with me. So that would have done it right there.
That would have done it, yeah. Was that for Sameplate, or was it for something else?
No, that was for Sameplate.com.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I would have loved it. I would have watched an episode, because I have not seen one.
I've seen a couple episodes of it.
Yeah.
I love that show too, but mm-hmm. That my investment would have been for things like an app and for, you know, media exposure.
Right.
I did raise a little money on Kickstarter, or GoFundMe, I should say, to do a little commercial. And being a writer, producer, director, it was easy for me to do. So it's out there on YouTube. If you just do Sameplate commercial, you'll see a bunch of commercials I made out there with some money.
They're pretty hilarious. I've seen them. So I've got one last question, and then we'll let you go.
And I have a question after yours, actually.
I'm pretty sure that is the question.
No, it's a different question.
Okay. So obviously you are a professional voice actor, and Mike here, and maybe some of the listeners, are interested in being voice actors. Do you have any, like, tips on getting into that field, or is it a crazy butcher slot and you don't want to get into it?
Well, it's a crazy thing, but I'll get into it.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of competition out there for voice acting in particular. So it's not something you should go into thinking I'm going to make $1 million right away. You know, I do a lot of anime conventions around the world, really, and this is pretty much the number one question asked of me. And the first thing I tell people is you have to move where the work is.
Mm.
If you want to be really serious about it and do the big stuff, there are plenty of websites like Voices 123 that have different little non-union jobs from all over the world, and you can record it right from your home. But if you want to, you know, audition for like a big TV series, you have to be in one of the places they do that. And those are like New York or Los Angeles, and they do a lot of voiceover in Chicago, and they do a lot in Dallas and Houston and Vancouver. A little bit in Toronto. That's about it. So if you're in Nashville and you want to be a voice actor, unless you want to do just Nashville local stuff, you've got to move to where the work is. And then you've just got to take as many classes as you can and take as many workshops as you can. It's not cheap. It's very expensive. It's like starting any business, really. You know, people think you could just go because, well, I've got my voice with me everywhere right. I go. But, you know, you're a product, and you've got to brand yourself just like anything else and market yourself just like anything else. And everyone thinks they can just go into show business, but it's not quite as simple as it looks. So I would say, you know, learn to act as well. You know, take an acting class because it is voice acting, you know, no matter what you're doing. Even if you're just announcing the, you know, on a local supermarket what the prices are in a local commercial, you know, you're still playing a character. You know, you're still marketing yourself. You're still acting. So that's some of the advice I would give.
Awesome. Sounds pretty good. Mike, what's your question?
Well, I just have one question. I mean, you can feel free not to answer this if you don't want to. But what was it like?
That's a good setup.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What was it like growing up with the last name Nimoy?
Well, it was both thrilling and annoying at the same time. Leonard Nimoy, the late great Leonard Nimoy, who played Mr. Spock on Star Trek, was my second cousin once removed, mm-hmm. and he was a fantastic guy, probably the most generous man I've ever met in my life. He was always generous to me whenever I needed advice or when I wanted to be an actor. He got me my SAG card by putting me in his movie, and little things like that. When I became an executive producer and I needed a lawyer, he got me a lawyer, you know, and when I was a writer, I needed an agent. He got me an agent, things like that. He's just, he was just a wonderful, wonderful guy. But growing up, you know, everyone thinks they're saying this joke to me for the first time. Oh, yeah, I noticed you had kind of pointy ears.
Oh, my God.
Or the other side of that is, oh, yeah, well, how come you don't have pointy ears? You know, all of my Nimoy relatives, we all grew up with this, you know, all of us. And they all think they're saying it to you for the first time. And,
wow.
You just roll with it eventually. You just, that's funny.
I can only imagine how many people have held up their hand in that special way and told you to live long and prosper.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Every one of them. But at the same time, the really abhorrent, I mean, that's just a little thing that's annoying, but the really annoying stuff are the people that just pretend to like you or want to get to know you because of that. You know, I've had meetings with agents who just wanted to get, you know, an introduction to Leonard.
Of course.
And they even called me Leonard during the entire interview. It was ridiculous.
Oh, God.
A comedy movie, yeah. So, but just knowing, I'm going to get emotional, but, you know, knowing Leonard, it was an honor and a privilege. He was just so wonderful to me. Yeah. And I didn't even meet him until I was 16, but he treated me like he knew me my whole life. And there aren't too many Nimoys out there. We're a small group.
Yeah.
In fact, everyone that we know of is related to us.
Oh, wow.
The ones who spell it N-E-M-O-Y. They're related to us too, because the name came over from Russia as Nimoy. So people were spelling it differently, you know, when they came off the boat. And the Chicago Nimoys spell it N-E-M-O-Y. The Boston and Brooklyn and California Nimoys spell it N-I-M-O-Y, like I do. So we're all related. So we're a small group, and I'm sure Leonard would have treated any one of them with the same generosity and just love that he gave me. A great guy.
No, I can imagine. And my heart and condolences goes out to you and your family. I know that was I know that had to have been a great loss and everything. I mean, he was and this is me as a fanboy saying he was always my favorite character on Star Trek. I loved Leonard Nimoy. I loved everything he did. I even loved the one episode of The Big Bang Theory where he was voicing the little Spock doll.
Oh, really?
Sheldon was talking to his Spock doll this whole episode, and Leonard Nimoy, God bless him, this was after he already announced his retirement, but did the voice of that Spock doll.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was one of those old Mego dolls.
It's funny, after a while you forget he's this world icon and you just think of him as Cousin Leonard.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden the day he dies, I had to spend that entire day answering emails
oh, yeah.
and text messages and Facebook because I was overwhelmed with it. I had probably over 2,000 correspondences that day that he passed away. And all of a sudden and then when the President of the United States releases a statement about him, you realize, oh my God, my cousin is this world icon. I mean, they named a space shuttle after the Enterprise. And you just start to really realize how many people you shared him with. And it was just really overwhelming and crazy and gave you a different perspective on just Leonard, you know, who I just knew him as Leonard, you know.
Yeah.
And just a little quick plug for my cousin's movie. Adam Nimoy is Leonard's son, and he's making a documentary called For the Love of Spock. And it should be out fairly soon, certainly within 2016.
Oh, I'll have to see that.
I did not have anything to do with the making of it, but he did raise some money on a campaign. I kicked in a little bit. And it was, I think, it raised the most money of any documentary on any sort of crowdfunding source. So that set a little record there. Shows awesome. How much people loved Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
And continue to love Leonard. And the wonderful thing about film, it's forever. You know, celluloid and video, it's forever. So we'll have him for always, which is wonderful.
Absolutely. I actually didn't even realize until that day, and when you made that post on Facebook, I'm oblivious, and I didn't make the connection of your last name. I'm like, you know, it's just last name. And condolences there too.
Yeah. Meanwhile, on the flip side of that, the first time he ever told me about Jeff Nimoy, I'm like, any relation to Spock?
Yeah.
I hate the fact that I didn't say any relation to Leonard Nimoy. I said any relation to Spock.
Whether I'm at the supermarket or at school way back when I was in college at NYU, the first thing people always say when they hear Nimoy is, any relation?
Yeah.
Those two words I've heard more than any other word in combination in my lifetime. Any relation?
Yeah. Oddly enough, when
you have to be sitting there, oh God, why couldn't his name been Leonard Smith?
Yeah. I don't get it anymore, but when I was a child, I got the – so my last name is Burnett, so I got the Carol Burnett relation thing occasionally. Now people just don't know who she is anymore, so
–
So
are you related to her?
I don't think so, but I've heard – I don't know. You family rumors make stuff up. I don't think so.
My brother used to be married to Lily Tomlin's niece.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh boy.
See, and my last name is Geisy. Every Geisy I know is a member of my family.
Yeah.
There are no famous Geisys.
No. So, let people know where they can find you at, Jeff.
Well, you can find me at cookingcaveman.com. And it's housed on Tumblr, but you don't have to type in the whole Tumblr address. Cookingcaveman.com will get you there.
Right.
And you can email me from there, or you can check out all my free recipes. I haven't updated the recipe page in a while, but it's a lot of them are there. I think I have over 300 recipes at this point. And there's some, you know, great information on and advice. I give advice all the time on how to go paleo, the easiest way to go paleo, the easiest way to go organic, and things like that. And just, you know, if you're an anime fan, I've got the Jeff Nimoy anime page on Facebook. I've also got a Tumblr, Jeff Nimoy anime page on Tumblr as well. You could just Google that stuff and find it pretty easily.
Yeah.
And that way you can keep track of any of my anime convention appearances. I make quite a few. I think I'm going to be in Minnesota sometime in May. I don't really know many of the others at this point. I'll probably be in Nashville in April, which I always look forward to. I hope to be anyway.
Definitely and, have to meet up with you when you come to Impact.
You know, if you're a voice producer and you want to hire me, you can go to jeffnimoy.com. That's my voice page.
Awesome. Yeah, so next time you come to Nashville, we definitely need to eat some Hattie B's hot chicken together. And
absolutely. I go hot. I don't know what you'll go medium.
Oh, no,
what
no.
I'm going hot.
Whatever the hottest they got is what I'm going to eat.
He wants it ghost peppers dipped in wasabi, doused in gasoline, and set on fire.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, I can handle that, but I prefer to taste the food as well, you know?
And yeah.
Hot gives me both the sweat – under my brow and on the back of my neck that I'm looking for, and the taste. So
awesome.
They're pretty good, but they're hot. You know, it's pretty good.
I like that. All right, so it's been great talking to you, Jeff. This will probably go up next Wednesday, or I'll run it early, and then I'll email you, of course, when it comes out.
And I'd like to personally thank you for coming on the show and putting up with all of our technical difficulties.
Yeah, it was cursed.
No worries, Mike.
And I do want to thank you for being one of my top two favorite interviews of all time. I'm not going to say if he's first.
Who's the other one?
I don't want to say professional. I don't want people to be jealous.
Oh. Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah. I don't want to think that I'm number two, though.
No, you're definitely number one. No, you're definitely number one, but yeah, trust me on that one.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've had like a nerd fantasy here talking to Wolfwood the entire time, so.
Right on.
All right.
You know why your fantasy is so heavy? Because it's so full of mercy.
I started that one, and it's still going on, I think, so that's good. Like an idiot, I walked away from 10 years of work, but whatever.
Oh, wow. All right. We'll talk to you later, Jeff.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too now. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jeff Nimoy.
Emmy award-winning director, producer, or something. Emmy Award, like, that's the highest, like, that's the most class we've ever brought to this podcast.
It really freaking is. And the inventor of a great dating site that helps picky eaters get together.
Wait a second. You know what?
What?
We don't even have to mark this episode as explicit. We have dropped no F-bombs.
Shit, are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, I might have to drop that out just to give us the safe for work label for, like, the second time ever, I think.
And on that bombshell, it's time to end for the Survival Punk Podcast. This is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Trigun Burnett.
Live long and prosper. Use guys.
DIY to survive. Use guys.
Sorry, had to do it.